Ladies and gentlemen, please let me introduce you to Dmitry Blatnik on carrying Enterprise on a little camel. Please welcome the speaker.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dmitry, and I am a user of Apache Camel. And along with Apache Camel, I also use it. And in the company I work for, we also use a few other Apache projects, actually several of them. So we had a first talk from Klaus, and it was most like introduction to the law of gravity, the science, how it works, the idealized picture of Camel. And I'll be talking mostly from the perspective of user, how we use Camel. And it's like Newton discovered the law of gravity for us, and then we just throw stones down, they fall. They fall down, that's the use case of gravity, and I'll be showing the use case of Apache Camel. We've been using Apache Camel since 2013, and we had a fast and violent adoption in the company I work for. So we went from zero Camel active MQ to quite a significant portion of business running and going through that in just a few months. So the important part of my story is that we are not a Java shop. So we have just a few engineers, and none of the engineers in the company I work for are Java engineers. I can read some Java code myself, but I don't write any Java. So that was a limiting factor. I thought at first, but then I realized it is not a limiting factor. So in my presentation, I will explain why we decided to use Apache Camel, why it worked well for us, what did not work well, and why it didn't work well, because Camel makes a lot of things possible, but if something is possible, it doesn't mean that it's a good idea to do that. I will also hopefully show some recurrent patterns that I observed from my practice, some that we repeatedly use. Hopefully for the Camel committers, like Klaus, it will offer some use cases, show how the users use Camel. Maybe not in the way it was intended to be used, but it works for us. So one of the main criteria I was looking for is something that is easy to deploy, something that is easy to develop, iterate, experiment, and train people on. Because we have a very small IT department. We have many more tasks than we have time, and we have a lot of non-engineers in IT department. So we need something simple, something that non-engineers can handle, can manage. And all of that, in my mind, defines an application, not a framework, not a library. So what is the difference between the application and the framework? So application you install, you configure it, you can fine-tune it in the production. If something changes, you can make a change in production while it's running. Application allows that. If you think about the framework or the library, you need a developer to manage it, you need to compile it, you need to deploy it somehow, you need development tools. So we really wanted to have an application for our integration needs, not the framework. Based on the previous presentation, you may understand that Apache Camel and ActiveMQ are actually frameworks, and that's how the committers, developers position it, and that's what they think of it. It's a framework, it's a library. So how do we close this gap? We have this awesome library, which looks like does what we need, supports integration patterns, supports all these components, but we really don't want to develop in Java. So as Klaus mentioned, there are two other Apache projects which close the gap for us, Carafe and ServiceMix. So how did it happen? So Carafe is an OSGI container. It essentially, the boxes within boxes. Apache Camel and ActiveMQ and CXF and a lot of other things can live inside the Carafe, inside the container. And the Carafe itself, the beautiful thing about Carafe, it's a standalone executable jar, which you can run on your Linux machine as a process, as a daemon. You can run it as a service on a Windows box, and you can start it inside Docker container as a main process. So the Caref was this glue or this intermediary part that facilitated the usage of such components as Camel and ActiveMQ for us. So we are the active users of Caref, and we are thankful for developers of Caref because that brought this pure Java libraries and frameworks to us non-developers. So if you're curious about Caref, it's an OSGI container. OSGI is a cool technology, at least in JVM world, because the way I see it as a non-Java developer, it allows hard code swapping for running Java applications. It allows discovery of components. And it's really a big topic, and there will be a talk about building microservices in OSGI later today. And you'll be able to learn more about it. But the main point is that it's really a container within which Java libraries and frameworks can work. And it's just an application on the outside. So the important part is that Caref supports Blueprint and Sprint files through its deployers. So you can just drop a Sprint file or Blueprint file into a special folder in Caref. It picks it up and composes an application out of it, composes a bundle. So internally, Camel, ActiveMQ, in using OSGI vocabulary, there are bundles inside the Caref, and whatever we will develop, the examples I'll be showing, they eventually become bundles inside Caref as well. And another important thing about Caref is that it can be branded, and there are many, well, not many, but a few products out there which you start up, which have custom branding, but in fact, it's just Caref with a different logo and with different packages bundled inside of it. And Service Mix is a branded Caref with Apache Camel, Apache ActiveMQ, Apache CXF already packaged in. So that allows for a really, really quick start. So you just can go to servicemix.apache.org, download the default assembly, go to bin folder, run Service Mix, and it starts. And at this point, we have an application which has Camel, ActiveMQ, CXF inside of it. And we get the Caref console inside, and you can run help command inside. It is actually very helpful. So whoever is writing the help command for Caref, thanks a lot. It's really helpful. And the most common usage case is we start the Caref console and we just start watching the logs, what happens inside the Caref. So if you want to start even faster, there are public images, Docker images for Service Mix out there on Docker Hub. So you just run one of those images. Inside my company, we have our own custom images. There are public images. This is the one I found by some German guy, and it's just as good as our images, so I don't have much preference between one image or another. Once you start the Docker container with Service Mix, again, just one line of one command line, you can SSH inside the Caref, and again, you can run help, or you can run logtail and see what happens inside, because Service Mix has an SSH bundle or something that supports SSH inside of it. So now we started Service Mix, it's running. There is Camel, ActiveMQ, CXF inside, but nothing really useful happens because it doesn't know about the problem we are trying to solve yet. How do we tell it what we want to do? We need to configure it. You can approach writing a Camel route as a programming task, or we can approach it as a configuration. And as I was listening to Klaus's presentation, I was wondering if in a route builder, the method is called configure, if it's a coincidence or not. So we think about Camel routes in the company I work for as configurations. So this is the most trivial configuration. It's a blueprint file, and essentially it has two main lines which define the camel route, the from line and the to line. So we take messages from timer and route the messages to the log file. Service mix makes it trivial to apply this configuration. We just copy this XML file into the deploy folder. What happens there is that Apache Keras recognizes that there is a new blueprint file. It invokes the blueprint deployer, creates a bundle out of it automatically, and it runs. And given that Keras is an OSGI container, it allows our bundle to discover camel, ActiveMQ, whatever we are using from our route. So our route only uses camel context. So Keras will offer the camel running inside of it. And to me, this is beautiful. This is really simple because we start a Docker container. We copy the file inside the container. If you mount the directory, the volume outside of a container to our host, we just copy the file and it runs. Like the time from zero to having something running in an Apache camel route running is literally just a few minutes. So we have our service running inside the Keras after that as a bundle. And this bundle is on the same footing as other packaged bundles. They really equals inside the OSGI container. The other beautiful feature of Service Mix and Keras is that we can update the file. So I use the command line to replace test with live in my route. And if you look at the log, what will happen is that within seconds, Keras will recognize that the file was updated. It will gracefully shut down the camel context, the routes. As Klaus mentioned, Apache Camel just does the right thing and tries hard to not to lose any information. So from my perspective as a user, I don't care much what happens here, but what happens here is the right thing. So it shut down the old routes, the old context, and restarts the configuration, applies the updated configuration. And again, this is exactly what we were looking for. We really wanted to have a very fast development cycle, really fast experimentation cycle, prototyping cycle. And I think many people are looking for that. That's why we have the read, evaluate, print loops, because people want immediate feedback. So this gives us the immediate feedback as the engineers and non-engineering IT staff at my company gives immediate feedback. We can make changes, and within seconds, no compilation necessary, no Maven, no JDK even. Like, all this runs on Java runtime environment. You don't need a Java development kit. You update your configuration, save the file, and the whole application works differently. This is beautiful. And this is a slight side note about the speed and business. Myself as an engineer, I'm a perfectionist. So I want things to be perfect. But in business, people want things fast. They don't want things perfect. And it was didn't make sense to me for a long time. But then if you think about it mathematically, from the decision theory perspective, and look at the optimal betting strategies, how people play in casinos, you actually can understand that you can mathematically show that if you can make a decision and you can only be right 80% of the time, but you make decisions more often, you will be ahead of a person who is right 100% of the time, but makes decisions slower. So it does make an order of magnitude difference in business to fail sometimes, but act much faster. And in the industry which I work for, which is a direct sales marketing company selling nutritional supplements similar to Herbalife and Avon, not IT, specific company, not very sexy, but they iterate very fast, they change vendors very fast, they change everything very fast, and it's really important to keep up with the business needs. And this flow where we can iterate quickly, we can update stuff in production that really fits in with the company culture, at least the company I work for. If you send rockets into space, that's not a good idea, but if you are just selling vitamins or weight loss products, that works. It makes people happy when you can iterate quickly. So in business, many things change very quickly, almost quarterly. In my experience, logistics partners, the payment vendors, banks through which we receive money, through which we send money, they change very often. And there are only very few parts of business which are stable enough where you want to develop your own algorithms. And I personally believe that in 2016, most of the code is already written, most problems are already solved, and it's a question of putting the existing pieces, the existing libraries together. So Apache Camel is really good for everything that changes fast, all these integrations connecting different pieces together. So going back to the configuration. As Klaus noted, Apache Camel supports many components, and this configuration offers an example of two components connected together, the time component, the timer, and the log file. So this is really the most trivial route. You take the timer, and we write the timer events into a file. I really like this quote from the Camel in Action book, which says, if you think of Camel routes as highways, components are roughly analogous to on and off ramps. And for me, the components of Apache Camel, this rich library of components, and all the components are really well documented, which is rare, provide as much benefit and as much value as the routing capabilities of the Camel. So for me, it's at least equal value, if not higher. So the fact that I can connect totally different systems together, out of the box with just configuration, zero code, with proven components, for me this is really powerful and a big enabler. So there are more than 100 side effects that Camel supports as components. So Klaus mentioned that there are more than 200 components, but I actually counted the components which produce or consume different side effects. So I did not count HTTP, HTTP4, RESTLET, CXF. For me, this is one thing, because they deal with HTTP protocol. But different systems that you can connect, there are more than 100 different side effects, different things in the real world to which you can connect Camel to. That includes mainframes, Slack, HTTP, email, IRC, Gmail, all these different systems you can connect together. Kafka, AWS Kinesis, what else? Docker, you can connect your Docker daemon to Camel. So, on the first glance, it gives up to 10,000 different two-line configurations. So, with just two lines of Camel configuration, you can solve 10,000 different problems, which is not exactly true, because some components can only produce some effects, side effects, and some components can only consume side effects. You cannot build a time machine. You cannot produce time change, so you cannot use a timer in a two URL, so this is a mistake. This must be not, there should be a two, so this will not work if it's two. You cannot produce time change. I sometimes look at the Camel route and see the analogy between the Unix pipes and Apache Camel. So the Unix pipe, you run a process, take its output and redirect to some other process. Something similar happens inside the Apache Camel route. So this is an example where we take a timer, we repeat it only once, execute a command date, and output it to the file. So this Unix Linux command is does the same thing as Apache Camel command does. The important part is that you need, if you're using Service Mix, in most cases you need to install Camel components. They're not all bundled into the Service Mix by default. They're not part of standard assembly, so you need to install it as a feature inside of OSGI container. So executing system commands using Apache Camel, that's one of the components. So the Apache Camel routes are actually better than Unix pipes because the message that travels across the route in Apache Camel has headers and exchange properties, and there is an in message and out message. Klaus didn't talk much about that, but it's really important because you can attach some metadata to the information that travels across your route, and it's really useful. You cannot do that with the Unix pipes, and out of the box, Camel offers these integration patterns, which allow for more sophisticated scenarios routing, moving your information around. So this is a sample route. This is one of the longer routes we use these days. So again, for this route to work, you need to install a few components, the HTTP component, the Slack component, AWS component. For Camel, what happens here is that we use the timer as a trigger every 30 seconds. Then we make an HTTP request to the service, and Camel allows to look at your environmental variables. So this is a standard Docker notation for attached containers. So in this scenario, we have a Apache Camel inside Service Mix, which runs inside Docker container, and there is another Docker container, and we check the health of the service that runs in another container every 30 seconds, and if the response code is not 200 or not 201, we consider the service to be down, or the container to be down, and we send a message to Slack to notify myself. And we send a message to a metric to Amazon CloudWatch, because out of the box, these are components that are available in Camel. And this is a common pattern in the inside the Camel route. We use headers to configure exactly what we want the side effects to be. So in this case, we define the name of the metric for CloudWatch and the unit and the value. So going back, configuration, not code. We don't code in Java, we produce configurations. The routes are usually quite small and dense, which is a benefit because the fewer characters you have, the fewer bugs you can produce in your code. Like the less you type in, the less is the probability that you will introduce bugs, but that's a joke. In fact, we introduce fewer bugs using Apache Camel compared to other methods. Like if you would use a shell script or a Perl script or a PHP script, gives us much more flexibility, much more, many more freedom, freedoms in what we can do. It's like if you're playing Lego, like with Lego you can build anything. There are huge things built with Lego, and probably you can even kill a person with Lego. But if you take an IKEA furniture, like you cannot recombine it in such a way that you build a car out of an IKEA pieces. So this set of components that Camel offers only allows you, in most cases, if it works, it is most likely working as you intend it to work, or it doesn't work at all. If you have less code, and this is an example, there's just a few lines of code. So there are like 8 functional lines of code here. 9 functional lines of code. So I can look at that without scrolling on my screen. So I can really look at this and see what's going on. If the configuration reflects my intention or not, I can quickly experiment. I can move the lines around, change configuration. It'll be automatically picked up by Service Mix. Very easy. And what's really important for our company itself, documenting, because we move very fast. I don't have time to write documentation. Or I don't have much time for training, but with a code like this, from my experience, you can take a non-engineer, show the code like this to a non-engineer, and he will understand what's going on. This is really valuable, because this DSL is designed well enough. It's almost declarative. So when non-engineers look at this, they see a declarative description of what's going to happen. They don't see a flow of logic. They don't see enterprise integration patterns. They just see, okay, something happens. The timer, every 30 seconds, makes HTTP request. If it's not 200 or 201, send to Slack, send to CloudWatch, and it's immediately obvious what happens to non-engineers, and it's really important for us. So when we use Apache Camel, really the task often boils down to identifying the source of the information we want to propagate across our systems and where we want this information to go. So in the previous example, we have a source of truth, which is the health state of the service, and we need to design a trigger. There's always a trigger because this is message-based approach to integrations. So the trigger is a timer in this case, and we want to send this information to CloudWatch, and we want to notify a person. And the question then for us often becomes, okay, what are the Apache Camel components that we can attach to these locations using the metaphor of highways and often on ramps? These are our cities. How we can connect our cities with the highways? What kind of ramps are available to us to make it happen? And fortunately, Camel offers enough components to really connect things together. So I'll show you a few examples. Right. A few examples of how we use Camel. We have almost 200 routes overall. Most of them are pretty short, 10 lines. When I just started with Camel, some of my routes were 200 lines. Don't do that. If your route is in XML, especially if it's more than 10 lines, then probably you should break it down. Or most likely what you are trying to do, what I was trying to do, is express my business logic in the route. So don't do that. The route should be really short. So what happens here is that with the timer, the timer component, every 60 seconds, I send this SQL request to my database. So there is a JDBC component available with Apache Camel, and there is a SQL component. And this refers to configuration, which is defined elsewhere, which defines the connection to my database. So I make this SQL request, and I send the result of the SQL request to Amazon CloudWatch. So I'm using the simple language to extract a particular column from the first row of the result of my SQL. So what this route gives us is a way to verify consistency in the database. So the idea is you can have orders in your database, and you have transactions, and you really want every order to have some transactions, financial transactions associated with it. And if you have an order without a transaction, that means that something went wrong, or the customer is actually in the process of delivering cash. So what happens here is we have a chart in CloudWatch, and if there is more than zero orders without transactions for, say, an hour, we send an alert. This shouldn't happen. This should not persist. And we have many routes like this which check the consistency between different databases or within the same database. And sounds like something that we shouldn't be doing in 2016, checking the consistency of our data, but the world is messy, and we have to do that. Another example is our corporate website runs on WordPress. It was very slow, going down, because we had a single Windows server on which WordPress was running. So we migrated WordPress into a Docker container and decided to put it behind load balancer. So we have several instances of WordPress, but when marketing department comes goes inside WordPress and creates an article goes to the database is common for all WordPress all WordPress instances connect to the same database. But when they upload the image ends up in the upload folder of just one instance. So how can we solve this problem? The best way is to upload all those images to S3 and in AWS, and just refer reference S3 from your WordPress. There are plugins for that, for the WordPress, but our WordPress is old. The plugins do not support it. The stopgap measure was to create a camel route, which watches the uploads directory on the instance and uploads the file to Amazon S3. So we're using S3 component to watch for new files, and it just works seamlessly. So this is three lines of camel route, and we have this route. We have an Apache camel running inside service mix inside the Docker container on each of instances which has a WordPress. I'm personally proud of this example because I did not create it. My supervisor did, and he usually doesn't write any code. So I gave him three instructions. I told him download service mix, use file component as from, and use Amazon S3 component as to, as a destination, and it took him an hour and a half to figure this out and have this running. So that was really proof to me that the model works. You can take a person who doesn't program a lot, who approaches it as a configuration, and he can figure this out really quickly. Unfortunately, he spent another 2 days trying to link the Docker to Docker containers together, the WordPress container and the ServiceMix container to share the files. And I think he actually ran into a bug inside Docker. But that was a little disappointing, but it was not camel fault, it was Docker fault. Okay, moving on. As I said, when I just started with camel, I was happy to find out that you can inline your programming logic inside the camel route. So I was doing this a lot, something like this, using JavaScript inside the route, using Groovy inside the route. It felt awesome, but it doesn't scale, it makes your routes long, and just hides your business logic where it shouldn't be hidden. So if you already have a JVM class implementing your logic, then you can use Camel's beam component. So Apache Camel has excellent integration with existing Java classes through a beam component. So you don't have to subclass from any specific Camel class, or you don't have to implement any specific interface. If you have a Java bean that does what you really needed to do, you can use it from Apache Camel. But we are not a Java shop. We don't create Java beans, so I will not talk much about this. So we sometimes use this 1, 2, 3 lines of business logic inside the route. Like what happens here, I just strip out the first line of the file. So I consume from the file, strip out the first line, and send it to ActiveMQ. If it's longer than a couple lines, then you shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. So what we are doing instead is we are using microservices, scripts or applications that we write our custom specific business logic in, and we can interface the camel route with our microservice through exec component or through HTTP component. So what happens here is we take some information in, we process it through a PHP script, and the output of the PHP script goes inside some remote HTTP service. And something complicated happens here, something very specific to our business, and it's just hidden elsewhere. So my point here is that Apache Camel works really well with the microservice architecture. You can easily connect things together. So this was simple scenarios where we are moving data from A to B, but you cannot simply move data from A to B always. And there are several reasons for that. So in big data, you use Kafka as a buffer between producer of your data and consumer of your data. In the real world, what we find is that we have a producer, we have a consumer. Consumer is unstable. Consumer can be down. Consumer data messages. It can be locked. The table can be locked. We cannot immediately update its state. Or there are even situations where we don't want information to be moved immediately. We need some delay. So one of the examples is that a customer brings in cash. Customer service agent has an order opened in a COBOL-based system, and the COBOL-based system is locking, so it locks the record. We cannot update it, we cannot add a transaction to it, but we got cash from somewhere. So person deposits cash, say in Mexico or Colombia, it's very common for people to deposit cash through a gas station. And many businesses, they don't accept cash in the office. So you have some third-party system which you poll repeatedly, check if somebody deposited cash for this particular order, and you want to add transaction to this order. And it may happen that an order is opened right this moment by somebody. Somebody is looking at the order. We cannot update it. So what can we do? We use Apache ActiveMQ. So ActiveMQ is a very powerful library framework. It is totally separate from Apache Camel. They're used together often, but they're different technologies. So Camel moves messages in memory around ActiveMQ, offers persistence. So if I go to this example, So actually, between this step and this step, so I'm moving data from the file to S3, there is invisible channel through which message travels inside Camel. But it is invisible to us, it happens in memory. With ActiveMQ, we can introduce the ActiveMQ in between two steps of Camel route, and that will ensure that our message is not lost, it's persisted, we can shut down the whole service mix, whole JVM, it will be persisted. And ActiveMQ offers very strong guarantees that the message will be delivered only once. So what can we do in this scenario? We pull some file location, looking for new transactions. We send it to ActiveMQ queue. Then we read it from the queue. We try to update our endpoint, a transaction to the order, check the result. And as Klaus was showing, it's really easy to do with Camel. This endpoint returns XML. We use XPath to extract the error. Was there an error? If there was no error, we are done. We just stop. If there is an error, we put the message back into the ActiveMQ queue with delay, and delay is an hour. So we will retry in an hour to update our endpoint. And if during this hour the whole server goes down, we'll just restart it. ActiveMQ will pick up all the messages which are between here and here. They're safely stored on the disk. They're not lost. This is really convenient. So we often use ActiveMQ as this reliable buffer between a source and the destination of data. And I call, informally between myself, I call the go-to enterprise integration pattern, because we essentially saying, okay, this worked, it didn't work, go to the beginning of the route in 60 minutes. So it's like a go-to with the delay. Another use case for ActiveMQ is when you have a network gap between your routes. This is a really, really useful scenario. You can have several instances of service mix on different servers, and you consume information from file on one server, and you want to save this information inside the file on another server, and they're separated by the network. And out of the box, Camel routes cannot really, they do not propagate over the network. ActiveMQ helps us. So ActiveMQ is really trivial to configure, to use in a network of brokers configuration. So as I mentioned before, ActiveMQ is bundled inside Service Mix, and it is a really trivial configuration. I won't be showing it here, to connect several ActiveMQ brokers together. It's one configuration file. The easiest topology is the star. So when we have a central hub, and you connect all your other ActiveMQ instances to this hub. And what happens in this route? So at first, this route was in the same file, in the same instance of Service Mix. We can create two instances of Service Mix on two different servers, just separate the files, and using the ActiveMQ, it seamlessly, the information travels from one point to another point. Interestingly, ActiveMQ is pretty much a one-way street. Like you have a consumer and a producer in one location and another. So using this approach also introduces some slight security benefit, because this may be inside of a restricted network. This can be more or less public, and you can only open a port through which ActiveMQ communicates. And it is pretty much impossible to do anything to your internal systems just by sending messages to ActiveMQ if nobody is consuming those messages or cannot process those messages inside your network. How do we use it? One of the examples is aggregating logs. So we have EC2 instances. I have two on the picture, but we have many more. The microservices which run inside Docker, which are written using Node.js, Ruby, PHP 7, PHP 5, they just drop the logs, log files on the disk, one file per request. We have a Service Mix container on each EC2 instance, which watches the directory, picks up the files, send it to ActiveMQ queue, and we have an audit storage, which is a Windows-based server. Inside our network, inside our corporate network, we have a network of ActiveMQ brokers. So these queues are physically separate. Logically, it's the same thing. So we consume from the file, send it to the queue on each of the EC2 instances, and then we consume from the queue and write to the file on the Windows machine. So this is the real configuration. So we do logs aggregation from multiple instances to one location with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines of Apache Camel. Really useful, simple. Took us probably 40 minutes to create and has been in production since 2013. Moves around 10 gigs of data every day, millions of messages, and just works. So as with big data is only useful for you if you can express your business need as map, reduce, split operations. So much the same with route-based integrations. They only work if you can express your business logic, your business process through messages which travel from one location to another. That's easier than you think, because the request response paradigm is only rarely necessary. So from my experience in business, most things are fire and forget. There are only very few things that you want to happen in real time and get real time response from your request. It's when you are charging the credit card, you really want to know immediately if it failed or not. You want to let your customer service know, or you want your customer to know. And the other common real time scenario with the request response is when you need to return some ID to the user, and user that then needs to use this ID to refer to his transaction in the future. So this is very rare. In most cases, it's fire and forget. One way, just send information from A to B. But we always need a trigger, some way to decide, okay, the time has come to send information. So the common triggers we use are the timer, the file system change, and the new messages in the ActiveMQ queue. So this is the most common start of our routes, and you can do many interesting things with it. Like it sounds limiting, but it's not. So one example is we have a legacy system, which is completely black box. We don't have access to source code. We cannot modify it. But we know that parts of this system communicate through HTTP. So we can intercept HTTP traffic, drop it on disk. Camel picks it up. 5 minutes. So. Camel picks it up, and from there, we send it to Amazon Kinesis, and we immediately jump from 1995 to 2016. So the system, which is written in COBOL, we make it cloud aware using Apache Camel immediately. Another example is UI. So this is a real example of the batch script we use with the GoTo. So we ask user for the input. We drop user's input inside the file. Camel picks up the file, makes the processing, drops another file with the error or the result, and the batch script just pulls these folders with a normal result or the error and shows it to the user. So essentially, we have this asynchronous Windows batch-based UI powered by Camel, and Camel does its magic, communicates with remote systems. And again, this is a practical example. It took 30 minutes to implement. And now we are processing all our cash transactions in Mexico and Colombia using this. And it works. File system is versatile because people can just open the folder, drop the file inside the folder, and can read the file from the folder. It's easy to train them. Say open Excel, like if you want to process this order, open Excel, type in order IDs into Excel, file, save it in this folder, Camel picks it up, processes it. Really easy. So another trigger that we use commonly is HTTP. And this is not one of the more complicated things that the interesting thing about HTTP that you can block execution of some process using HTTP. So what we do, we have a batch script which runs a curl over HTTP. So we have a route which starts with HTTP, does some processing, blocks, and then hands out the processing to a separate route. And here it stops blocking, so the batch script comes here. This is executed, then it comes back and continues moving. And then we do a slow processing after the fact. So this is really important, again, for legacy systems, which have very fragile states. Some legacy systems have end of day freeze. And during this freeze, we want to keep it as short as possible. We want to extract some data. So that's how we do that. So we use HTTP as a way to block some outside trigger system and do our stuff. A plug for CXF. I was bribed by the CXF committers to mention CXF. CXF is awesome, but it requires writing and packaging a Java class, and we are not a Java shop. We experimented with CXF. It's awesome. It allows to use annotations to expose your Java objects over HTTP interface. But in practice, we use Apache Camel REST component. So much easier. Don't need to compile anything. So what Apache Camel is not good for? Validation. So again, once we started with Camel, we did some XML schema-based validation. Doesn't scale. We tried using Groovy logic inside the route. Doesn't scale. We built microservices for that, and we interact. The Camel interacts with our microservices through exec component or HTTP. Mapping in data transformation, like we were using XSLT a lot, but then we started to hate our life. XSLT is impossible to manage. We created our own microservice in PHP 7, transforms our data back and forth. We borrowed the marshaling and unmarshaling concept from Camel. But as I was browsing the Camel components page, I found the Dozer, which looks very promising. I'll be checking it out myself, and maybe we'll be replacing our microservice with Dozer. The resource planning and calculation, like calculating discounts, shipping rates, this is very specific to every business. You can inline that into the route, but you shouldn't. Use your own microservice or outside software. And this is the slide I really want to show. So the type converter. So for me, like, there is no magic here. I have some data coming from this HTTP service. So this is HTTP behind the scenes. I know it's XML. I extract data using XPath, and I process it. To my eye, there is no magic. I use PHP, JavaScript. There are no types. From Java perspective, that's weird what happens here, but Camel does the right thing. And people don't know what this is. This is from the Perl book. Perl does the right thing as well. So I wonder how much inspiration for Camel was from Perl, because it really feels the same way. But in 2016, you cannot probably say I use Perl, but I can probably say I use Apache Camel. So what happens here, Apache Camel converts input stream to document, extracts node list from document, and then converts node list to stream. This is for all those people who are not going to use Apache Camel, but run other Apache projects. Like, from my perspective as an outsider, there is so much useful logic inside Camel, the type converters and components that you can use in other projects. So last year I was in ApacheCon Big Data, and somebody was talking about an incubating project about how they created adapters to populate Kafka from files, or FTP or email, and it was a nice project. I asked, do you know about Apache Camel? People say, no, we don't know about Apache Camel. So I invite you to look at Apache Camel if only you develop some other projects. And I'm out of time. This will be available online. Questions?
Unfortunately, just on the coffee table. There's next speaker coming, I'm sorry.
Okay.
There should be questions, I'm sorry. Totally running out of time. Thanks again to the speaker, please.